Welcome to Let's Do It Radio segment of Miss Inez Says. Let's talk about it, politics. We have Montana Joe versus North Carolina Joe, where you can sit ringside and listen to the Joes battle it out at 845-241-9985. Today is Tuesday, June 21st, 2022. I am Miss Inez, your hostess of the evening, CEO and fashion designer of Anais Aku Designs, broadcasting to you worldwide. Again, the call-in number to the show is 845-241-9985. Let's do it, worldwide listeners. Joining the conversation with Miss Inez, as tonight in the far right corner, we have Joe from Montana, who will be vetting out in the far left corner, Joe Gibson from North Carolina, House District 65. He's a political newcomer. Joe Gibson is running to represent Rockingham County. And please donate out there to us at Cash App, $ANAISEBALCOUR. And so we're going to have Montana Joe vets out North Carolina Joe Gibson, North Carolina House District 65 political newcomer, and he is running again to represent Rockingham County. Let's give him a big round of applause. Montana Joe is very vocal and has wanted to vet out a political candidate on my show. Joe Gibson from North Carolina is a podcaster and former landscaper and said that while lots of people complain about government, he has decided to do something about it by running for political office. I think our political leaders are so out of touch and out of whack with the people out there today, he said. At first, I'm going to listen to a clip of WXII out of North Carolina with Bill Reed, I believe his name is, and what Joe has to say, and then we were going to get into our showdown.
Lots of people complain about the government, but Joe Gibson has decided he's going to do something about it. He's running for political office.
And I believe our political leaders are so out of touch and out of whack with the people out there today.
Gibson says he wants to restore the values of the Founding Fathers and the U.S. Constitution.
How would you, being in office, help your community?
Well, like I said originally, I believe in restoring, and I believe we've gone so far away today that our leaders today are misleaders. There's no trust, and everything is done.
Gibson questions why North Carolina lawmakers haven't taken steps to help the public fight inflation.
For instance, just one right off the bat would be, why haven't we already initiated some sort of suspension of the gas tax here in North Carolina? Nothing until after the fact. It's too late now. Our damage has been done to the pockets of North Carolina residents.
We asked the Rockingham County Republican about issues facing North Carolina lawmakers, such as gambling and marijuana.
One of the issues that may come up before the legislature in the spring would legalize medical marijuana. Where do you stand on that?
I have not done a tremendous amount of research on it, but I would say I don't really favor legalizing medical marijuana until there's more studies done on it. Right now, with the marijuana that's out there.
Another possibility is legalizing sports gambling in North Carolina. What do you think about that?
I don't like the gambling aspect when it comes to, there's too much. Right now we're a society that is addicted to, I guess you could say the moment here and now. We already have a problem right now with gambling, illegal gambling, for instance. Why are we going to create a larger problem with more gambling?
What do you offer the voters of Rockingham that Mr. Pirtle does not?
Well, I don't want to bash Mr. Pirtle. He's been in the political arena now for some time, and are we better off in Rockingham County today than we were yesterday with him? I would say no. So therefore, it's time to get another guy in there and give it a shot and do a better job maybe.
Do you like your chances?
Yes, I do. I'm out there every single day talking with the people, asking. And the first question I always ask, what would you like to see different today?
Joe Gibson faces Reese Pirtle in next month's GOP primary. Bill O'Neill, WXII, 12 News.
All right. So let's listen to this.
Let's get ready to rumble!
We are going to start with Montana Joe. Go ahead, Montana Joe.
Okay. Thanks, Inez, for allowing myself and,
you are welcome.
Of course, Joe Gibson on him in order for us to go through a process of vetting out the potential politician. So,
okay.
As long as Joe, you're an honest, intelligent guy, kudos to you, because that's what we
all
need
right.
In Congress, in the Senate, and other political offices. Now, are you running as a representative, or are you running for Senate?
I'm running as the right now as the representative, so I'd be the North Carolina Legislative Body, which is the North Carolina General Assembly. So that would be I'd be representing my district, the people in my county.
Okay, so good. So you said you didn't. Wine gambling. I'm not going to focus on what I would call the minor issues right now. My major issue overall in every state, every city, every municipality, especially in Congress, since it originates from there, is corruption. Now, what makes you think that if you get elected, how many how many representatives are in your state?
We have 100 counties in my state, so we have, I think there's two areas where they have, because of the population, there's more than one, so I believe, don't quote me on this, I think there's 127.
Okay, so you'd be one out of 127 people voting on bills that pop up in the state legislature.
That's correct, but, that's the way you went. That's all I was to do is vote on the bills, yes, but there's more of a legislator can do.
All right. Can you elaborate on that?
Oh, I mean, a state legislator is a lawmaker. I mean, first of all, what I would do is I would try to align myself with other legislators and have co-sponsors of any legislation that I would put forward. And the first legislation I would want to put forward is to abolish most of the other legislation out there that conflicts or does not consist with the Constitution, because my main platform is to restore our republic, restore de jure lawful government into our state first, and then hopefully spread out nationally. But right now I'm only worried about North Carolina.
Well, yeah, since you're going to be a representative, if you get elected of only North Carolina, that is going to be your primary interest. So the thing
is
that if you're going to be a freshman, what kind of power do you think you have as a freshman legislature if you're elected?
Well, I don't have any power. I don't have any power. The people have the power. I represent the people. I'm the voice of the people. I'm going to be representing what the people want and their needs. And they're the ones that are going to tell me what they want. And it's not what I want. You know, I put forth a vision, and they elect me based upon that vision, and that's because, obviously, they share the same views. Obviously, otherwise, I wouldn't be elected. So, therefore, that's what I would do is I would go with basically what the people, anything that, I guess you could say, goes along with lawful government, meaning the Constitution. We have so many codes and statutes out there right now that are unconstitutional because they conflict with the Constitution. Too much government infringing on our lives every single day, micromanaging our daily lives, and we don't need that.
Oh, that's absolutely true. So from what I'm garnering from you is that if you have a lot of people in your district emailing you, mailing you, calling you up and saying that they want gambling, for instance. Since you represent the will of the people, and those people are being very vociferous about it, you then could either sponsor a bill or vote for a bill that establishes gambling in North Carolina, right?
If it coincides with the Constitution, if it doesn't coincide with the Constitution, which I don't think state legislators or the government should be involved in gambling or receiving profits of gambling, a private enterprise that people are going to partake in. Right now here in North Carolina, we introduced the lottery, state lottery, and it's supposed to generate revenue and money for the North Carolina teachers and educational fund. There's money missing from that. The money isn't properly allocated, or it's going towards the pockets of politicians and their lobbyists and the good old boys club. So all it's going to do is create more corruption, and that's what happens when you don't follow the Constitution. So I don't think gambling has anything to do with the Constitution or the legislative body, and I don't think North Carolina politicians have anything to do with gambling.
Well, it shouldn't have anything to do with gambling outside of either making it illegal or illegal according to the Constitution, right?
Yeah, that's correct. And the Constitution,
okay.
generating revenue from proceeds of gambling, capitalizing on the few, because we all know gambling is, the house always wins, and all you're doing is introducing corruption and misrepresentation of what the state or government body should be representing or what our job is. What's the state legislator's job? And that's to represent the views and create policy or laws that of course coincide with the Constitution that govern our day-to-day lives in our in North Carolina. And gambling should not be a part of our day-to-day lives.
Well, that's an opinion of yours, but if your constituents, the majority of them, either through a petition or through a referendum, say that they want gambling, and there's no proof, and I don't see anything in the Constitution that forbids gambling, then, according to what you've said a few minutes ago, you want to do the will of the people, and if they say, hey, Joe, we want gambling, then why wouldn't you vote for a bill
does. It does conflict with the Constitution because our Constitution was modeled after a Judeo-Christian principle, and our founding fathers were Judeo-Christian. So biblically, it does not coincide with the Constitution. And according to God's law, it is wrong. So when we govern according
to... Well, that's an opinion again. That's an opinion again. There are people who have studied the Constitution and say that Jefferson, Madison, Washington, et cetera, were not theists. So
they were Christian. They had the foundations and principles.
But
go ahead.
The thing is that can be an argument for constitutional scholars. But again, that's an opinion of yours. And if your constituent, as you've already said, the majority of them want gambling, that's just because you believe that it's against the word of God and nothing in the Constitution about gambling, then you would have to, according to your premise, vote for a bill that establishes gambling. And since they have gambling in Nevada and Connecticut, there isn't apparently, it's not unconstitutional.
Well, that's Connecticut and Nevada, and we already know what Las Vegas is. What do they call it? Is that Sin City or is that New Orleans?
City.
I don't know. But it's not a matter of opinion. If the Constitution was modeled after the Bible, the founding fathers were, in fact, if you go back and read the Federalist Papers or read any documented letters that are stored in the Library
mm-hmm.
of Congress, the founding fathers were, in fact, Bible believing
mm-hmm.
Christians. And they were very spiritual men. So I don't think, I can't even say think. I would say I know they would not go for gambling. They would not want poker in after school programs.
Well, again, that's an opinion, and other people have a difference of opinion, and they've also studied the Constitution, the Federalist Papers, the Anti-Federalist Papers, the private and public writings of Madison, Hamilton, etc. And they would probably disagree. So again, that would be a topic for people to have this constitutional discussion. What I'm going to be concentrating on, though, is corruption at large. Now, if you're going to be a freshman representative, what is your priority as a freshman? What kind of issue would you like to tackle first?
Well, that's a good one, corruption. And the reason why our government is so corrupt today is because of the disagreement you and I just had here today. Is that, and, you know, the founding fathers, their view and beliefs in the divinity of Jesus Christ and adherence to the teachings of their denomination, which was founders such as Patrick Henry, John Jay, Samuel Adams, that can quote the Bible verse for verse without a problem. And when you have biblically sound leaders and you have a moral foundation to stand upon, that's what the Constitution really is, and you have that righteousness about your government, and you have that moral foundation, guess what? You eliminate corruption, because people start thinking twice, because it goes against their moral conscience or their moral compass. So that's why you have so much corruption already. Now you want to get to the second part of corruption: money, greed. We have a printing press that creates money out of thin air. That's a central bank. The founding fathers, again, warned us about central banks and the printing presses, because there's no checks and balances. The Constitution offered checks and balances, and you have none. Well, you have a printing press gone wild. So you have people printing our money, doing what they will with it, and special interest groups buying off our politicians because you create greed. That's common sense. We don't have to study facts on that. That money, for the love of money is the root of all evil. We know that. I mean, that's common sense. So, you know, again, common law, common sense. If we get back to common law, restore de jure government, and restore honest government with some sort of righteous foundation, and we bring biblical principles, bring back those Ten Commandments and put them in the courthouse steps, because they've been taken down. Return prayer to school, which ever since they've taken it out, I think it was 1954, ever since the schools have gone downward so fast, your head can spin. So if we return these principles back and we teach our youth this stuff, guess what? We're going to have a youth that's going to grow up to be healthy adults that believe in something more than a basketball player.
Well, okay. I happen to believe in the separation of state and church. It didn't bother me to have prayer removed from official documents or have it.
But that's not what separation of church was. That's not what it was. Where do you get that at? That in history books. The purpose for separation of church and state was so that the government stayed out of the church,
that's
not the
right.
Church out of the government. But we had politicians that worshipped in the Capitol. They listened to their opening prayers before legislative meetings, quorums.
The purpose of the separation of state and religion was to make sure that religion wouldn't overtake the government and the government wouldn't overtake religion. Now, that doesn't mean that anybody who is a Christian or a Jew or a Muslim or a Buddhist can't pray to their particular God while they're at their individual capitals. But they're not supposed to introduce religion and force it down people's throats. They're supposed to be as neutral as possible based upon moral standards, and you don't have to believe in the Bible to have a moral compass. Now, what I want to ask you about is, again, corruption to me is the number one issue in America. Well, it's the number one issue around the world. You're right about the fact that money and, of course, people who want power are greedy, and they will sell their soul. I don't know about literally. Some people say Luciferians exist. I don't know if that's true. But they will sell their soul, figuratively speaking, in order to have power. Now, what are your boots on the ground plans to prevent this?
As far as what? As far as eliminating corruption as a whole?
Right. No, eliminating corruption, because if you're elected, you're going to have legislative powers. You're going to co-sponsor bills. You're going to have bills that you're going to sponsor and hope other people co-sponsor your bills. Now, if you're going to be going after corruption, what are you – because you did say, well, we have to restore morality, et cetera. I agree with you. But if – that word if is the biggest word in the language, you know? Everybody always says, well, you know, if we do this and if we do that, then this will come about. You know, who cares? Okay? As long as – if nobody has a plan to actually carry out that if, then it's like – have you guys ever heard of a saying, you know, if you lean on a shovel and praying to God, ain't going to get the hole dug. In other words, You just don't pray. You gotta put some elbow grease into it, okay?
Put some effort into it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What kind of plan specifically do you have, let's say within the first week that you're elected, to root out and stop corruption?
Well, I think I've already been clear that you know, which you already disagree with, on the separation of church and state. We have to restore our God back in, on the scene.
I'm not talking about what we have to do or what we need to do. Okay, that's what.
Well, I'm not a king. I can't just go implementing things.
Okay,
you know.
So then So what is it that you have within your power as a representative to do?
I can use the power of nullification. That means nullifying and challenging the unconstitutional code. First of all, there's over 1 million plus codes and statutes on the books in America today. Okay, I mean, you can't breathe without breaking the law. They're it's quite asinine and backwards, the way the codes and statutes and UCC laws are written. And again, it's all funded because we were corporatized America after the Reconstruction Act of the Civil War. We then did what? We became a de facto form of government, and District of Columbia now became really the United States. And the states lost their individual sovereign power rights. And we have to restore states' rights. Okay? And then once we restore de jure government and start eliminating the de facto power.
Yeah.
How we do that is we have to eliminate the laws that are on the books now that are preventing us. Deregulation, less chains of government around our throats.
Okay.
And guess what? It breeds freedom.
The bill. Joe, remember the protocol. Are you going to restore the are you going to sponsor a bill that's going to address that?
Yes, of course. I don't have one written in front of me right now because I'm not elected legislator, but yeah, I would sponsor some sort of bill that would deregulate and decodify the law books right now. Yes, that's actually what my main purpose is, to restore our republic. Yes.
Okay, and can you give us a little bit of the wording that you would put into the bill?
I can't do that right off the top of my head right now. You're asking me to write a bill live on the air right now. I don't have one written in front of me right now.
Here's the purpose of the question. If this is something that you've been thinking about, then if you have been thinking about it, something would have occurred in your mind a while back. Now, again, you're going to have, if you see it, I was hoping you would, that you would be running for governor, because the governor has more powers, and it would be easier for me to
The governor does not have more powers, actually. No, he doesn't. Actually, the legislative body has more power. But they're equal branches of government, separate from each other, the three branches of government. And the people have all the power. The governor cannot sign executive orders. That is unconstitutional, okay? He cannot – that's like the president. He cannot sign the executive orders because of bad weather. He cannot suspend the Constitution because of bad weather. That is where we were so mistakenly – wrong in America, where we have accepted this type of form of government. The government does not have that power to suspend any of those constitutional rights that are inherent to the Constitution that we are born with and endowed by our Creator with. We cannot sign, I cannot write executive orders, even if I was governor, no. But I can, as a legislator, use the nullification process, which sponsor a bill and present it in a committee form and quorum it in front of the legislative body to deregulate the codes and statutes that are unconstitutional. And that's how the wording really would go, just like that, in the beginning.
All right, but we're getting back to the governors. Governors have signed executive orders, and apparently
they
do have the power.
Well, they did. They have it. People jumped off the Empire State Building. That doesn't make it right. You know, so it doesn't matter.
I'm not saying that it's right, but they have the power.
Yeah.
And as long as they have the power and the military and the police force behind them, as we've seen when Black Lives Matter was tearing apart Seattle and Portland a couple of years ago, then they have the power. It does.
That's correct.
It doesn't matter
We the people delegate that power. We allow it.
It doesn't matter what the people's rights are. You know what rights we have? We have privileges. George Carlin was a comedian. Was a comedian, but he was the Mark Twain of his time.
I agree.
Do not. Right. We do not
but
have
that's because we don't have any leaders up there talking like I'm talking right now. Restore our republic. Restore
the
foundations.
We have, we have all the leaders talk the same way you do. What we have to do is restore the Constitution. Every single
one. I only saw
one
leader.
Single...
Hang on. I only saw one candidate talk about audit the Federal Reserve and end the Federal Reserve, and that was Ron Paul. He was the only one that I saw.
That's right. He was the only one, and now he's talking about eliminating it. The thing is that the Federal Reserve, which was established in Ms. Inez in 1913, and which sucks the money out of our economy like you wouldn't believe, because they have about, what, $505 trillion on their balance or something like that. But
more than that.
The thing is that if you were elected the first day or the first week, since you're against corruption, would you go around to your various what party would you be in? Republican?
I would go in the Republican. I would be in the Republican Party, yes, because
you'd
that's
be
the party
Republican
I represent
party.
Right now. Yes, the Democratic Party, and the only reason why is because the Democrats today are not the Democrats of yesterday that really stood for the moderate type of politics that they, this liberalism today is just off the chain. I mean, I defund the police. It's okay to kill a baby after birth. No, I can't. How can I be a part of a party like that? You know, I mean, that's just
horrendous.
Well, it's not
the party of JFK, but then even the party of JFK wasn't the party of JFK. The thing is that the Democrats and Republicans today are both the same wings of a buzzard. They both want their share of the pie. They're both corrupt.
True. Agreed.
So as a Republican, would you go along or go around to your other 126 members? Let's just say 50 of them are Republicans, just to throw a number out there.
Okay.
Would you go around to all of the 50 members and ask them to be with you on whatever plans that you have to end corruption? And if they said no, would you expose that?
Yes, I would, but I would not just go around to the Republicans. I'd go around to the Republicans and Democrats.
Well, the Democrats, we already know. But if you wanted to, that's fine. But the Republicans are your party. And if you said to, I don't know who, let's say Mr. Jones, I have this plan to end corruption, and I want you to be with me on it. Here's this particular plan. Would you be with me? And if he says, no, I don't like it, would you then, in your newsletter or, press conference.
The press release. I know where you're going with this. Yes, I would. I would go to the press and the press release. I'd make a press release on that, yes.
Okay. So if you did that to the 50 and 45 of them said, no, I don't like this. I'm not talking about sponsoring a bill now, okay? That's part of the protocol that they do.
Sure.
And which everybody points a finger at and says, he's an obstructionist. She's an obstructionist. Both parties do that nonsense. The thing is that if you have let me outline a plan. You say to your in a newsletter to your constituents, I want to end corruption. I want to end corruption at the Capitol because of this particular person and the suspicion of their taking bribes. I want to start an investigation into that. And your constituents respond to you and say, the majority of them say, I think you should. Now, as a matter of public record, you asked, they responded, you got the majority. So if you went around to the 50 Republicans, more than the other Democrats, and you showed them that you have support, and they would, and they are not to be these Republicans now, if they're not going to support you in your plan to end corruption, regardless of how good or how bad it is, would you expose every single one of them within the first 2 weeks that you're there?
If I could, yes.
Okay, all right. Let's say the first month. So you would actually go around after publicly stating to your constituents, I am going to do this little sojourn of mine. I am going to go around to various Republicans, and if they don't answer my phone calls or don't let me in, I will let you, my constituents, and everybody else know through a press conference how these people are not supporting this particular issue. So
that's
something
correct.
That you would agree. Oh, okay.
Yes.
Well, that sounds good, because you know why I ask you that? That,
what?
To me, is skin in the game. Everybody is like you, Joe. Everybody has a nice resume. Everybody runs. Everybody wants to do good. Everybody wants to go by the Constitution. Mm-hmm. But when they get there, since you sound like you're kind of a political historian, Truman says,
yes,
once a person enters politics, he's no longer an honest politician. He comes out as a dishonest politician.
Yeah.
And apparently, that is the way that it has been. And maybe it even seems that way to you, because otherwise, why would you bother running? So if you
exactly.
have skin in the game, and if you say, within the first 2 weeks, I am going to do this, but you don't do it, all the other campaign promises are null and void. They don't
agreed.
Make any. So that's my bottom line question, because I don't know how long Ms. Inez is going to have you and me on the air. But I've enjoyed this.
You're fine. You're fine.
You
you're fine.
Okay.
You're
so
fine.
We can go as long
mm-hmm.
as possible. Okay. So
I do have a question, and we do have other calls on the line. But so do you have a list of things that you want to take care of, Joe? Once you get into
yes, I did have a 7-point plan. I did have that.
Okay.
I've amended it since, obviously, because I, you know, when the primary came and went. But yes,
correct.
I, you know, obviously against abortion, against this, against that. Yes.
Okay. So I know Sergeant Parks is on the line. Let me see if he has any questions for you. Do you mind, Montana Joe?
No, I don't mind.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Sergeant Parks?
Yeah.
How you doing? You got any questions?
Yes, I got a bunch of questions.
Okay.
Okay.
Now we have a lot of background noise, so if you're not talking, go ahead and please mute yourself. But
I am.
Ahead,
I'm gonna mute myself. It's probably me, but who knows? Maybe Sergeant Parks brought in the static when he came in. But it's probably me.
Go ahead. Uh-huh.
Well, my first question is, you know, we seem to have a lot of the politicians, both Democrats and Republicans,
mm-hmm.
Have conflict of interest. Like they're already in somebody's pocket. And if you start working on corruption, well, all you got to do is follow the money to see whose pocket they're in, and then if you know how they voted on different things, then it's concrete. What are your plans and stuff to try and do that? How is it's just so corrupt, like you said. I think it's going to take years and years to be able to do something about it. And the very same people that are supposed to be doing writing laws and making sure that people observe the laws are the main culprits. That's number one. Number two, we are actually selling American land to foreigners, okay, that we don't have our best interests, okay, and we're allowing that, okay. Number three, Roe versus Wade. Okay, no matter how you feel about it, I think the law as it is still protecting a woman's right to vote. So I'll just listen to your answers on that.
I don't know. What do you mean? Roe versus Wade? I don't understand the question there on that one. What do you mean by Roe versus Wade? Do I support it?
Well, they're trying to change the law. I'm interested in hearing what your opinion is on that. Okay.
I don't support Roe versus Wade at all. Abortion is murder. Flat out. Again, you heard me quote the Bible. The Lord said, I know you in your mother's womb before you were born. Who protects the rights of that child? protect the woman's right to her body. That woman, actually, she doesn't surrender her rights to her body, but she surrenders the rights of her body to that child, she does, because they share her body now. And that's just, hey, you have to take that up with God. You know, that's the way God made women, and that's the way it is. So, you know, like I said, again, take it up with God. But somebody, you have to protect the rights of that unborn child, and abortion is murder. So I don't support Roe versus Wade. As far as following the money, you can go about doing that, every campaign candidate or committee has to do financial disclosures and through the ethics committee of every state board. And in my state, I know I have to disclose where I get any money from, how I spend it. And, if I get caught, you know, things, we hear about it all the time. So, you know, I can't say what if, or I can't assume someone's doing wrong if they disclose it and I follow the money. You're right. I will find out who's supporting these candidates and where the money's coming from. And that's how you can get your investigation of what's going on in that particular district or my district even, what they're funding. Like if a major real estate company was backing me and then after I'm elected, all of a sudden that realtor gets all the contracts and gets all the building contracts, well, quite clear, you would say they were rubbing elbows and, you know, greasing each other. Yeah. So that's common sense. Mm-hmm. So that's the answer to your good question on that. That's how I would do it.
You got any more questions, James? Because I got one.
Hold on before you do. Okay, so does it matter how much the amount is? Is it like, do you have to follow the money trails tell them all the money that you come in, even if it's $25, $50, or what have you?
Any money that's donated to my
any money
that's donated to my campaign, and I use it, mm-hmm. any money I spend on my campaign, whether it by mm-hmm. buying one sign or one bumper sticker, has to be disclosed
okay.
to the Board of Elections.
Okay. Thank you. You have another question? You say, Joe, you want to ask? Montana Joe?
Yeah, Joe, would you be open to polygraph exams like once a year, twice a year?
I don't see why not, but why would you want to do that? I mean, I never heard of such a thing, having our politicians take polygraph exams. I mean, it's kind of like assuming we're guilty until innocent, right? Kind of would go against the Constitution. Where's my protection of due process, you know?
No, it's not. Due process is when you're accused of a crime. If you're not accused of a crime, but if you agree to have polygraph exams, especially if they're very, very accurate, and there's other techniques that have been employed now that are pretty accurate, to ferret out the truth, because people lie all the time. And we can't afford to have politicians in office who lie, who are very, very deceitful, who are very slick. So if you have polygraph exams, the question all the time is, what have you got to hide from law enforcement to the citizens?
Yeah.
So I, as a citizen, will ask law enforcement, judges, and politicians, what have you guys got to hide? If you guys are doing the right thing, being moral, then take a polygraph once or twice a year to make sure that you are. So would you be against it?
Yeah, I'd be against it because it violates my Fourth Amendment rights. I have everything to hide. It's called my Fourth Amendment. What I do and what's inside my mind or how I think is my business. My record will speak for itself. That's why you elect politicians, because they work for you. And then you get a grade, a report card on the job you do. And if you don't do a good job, then you vote me out. That's our process. We shouldn't change it.
Okay. It seems like a decent argument, except that you wouldn't be, you're not charged
mm-hmm.
with a crime.
Mm-hmm.
But since you are a person that represents the will of the people, again, what have you got to hide? It's not about charges. It's not about allegations. It's about vetting somebody to make sure that they do what they say they're going to do.
Yeah, well,
so
you do that before
do
you vote for me. You do that. That's why we have campaign hearings. That's why we have runoffs. That's why we do all this. That's why we go out and have town hall meetings. You vet me there. You don't vet me after you don't hire somebody then.
No. You get vetted afterwards, because once you're in for 6 years, 4 years, 2 years, whatever the term may be, it's already the horse is out of the barn. So
yeah.
if a politician will agree to that, he should be vetted during the time of his, you know, of his tenure. So
I don't know. That creates mistrust. I mean, anyway, everyone's a human being. I mean, everyone has a moral conscience. I mean, come on. You know, how many polygraphs are you talking about? I mean, you know, I mean, what you want to take one a year? You want to take
twice,
one a week? I mean, you know, I mean.
I already told you. Once a year or twice a year. Plus, there's other techniques as well. And they're not invasive. And, if, of course, they're not admissible in court, but that doesn't mean they can't be admissible in the world of reality. So, yeah, you can be vetted during the tenure. Just because it's not being done now doesn't mean it can't be done in the future or shouldn't be.
Well, if it was made a law, I think it really has constitutional questions, but that would be up for the courts to decide, you know. But I mean, I'm not going to volunteer for something like that because it opens the door. You're just asking for disingenuous behavior because, you know, I didn't get vetted this month. We have more to worry about than taking lie detector tests. If I'm elected for 2 years, which that's what I am, you will see what I do during that 2 years. That's why we have the turnaround we do. That's the whole purpose of an election. You vote them out, you vote them in. If I do a good job, you'll reelect me. You know, you have to have some form of, what are you going to do? When in a marriage, you're going to vet your wife. I mean, you know, you're in a relationship there.
But by saying that, well, you vote me out, you vote me in, you are going against the premise that you believe that Congress, senators, politicians, are immoral, amoral, and corrupt. Because if you're saying all you got to do is vote me in, vote me out, you got to trust me, then corruption, for all practical purposes, doesn't exist. But we all know that it does
exist. That's up to the people. How much power? You know, I don't know. That's a touchy subject. I mean, you know, I never heard that kind of question before. You know, I mean, obviously, while I'm in office, you have a right to question me. You know,
it's been proposed before by other people. So I think it's a good idea. There was another forgot a question I was going to ask. In any case, I'm sorry, James, if I stepped on your tongue. I'll think of the question in a minute.
Hold on a second, because I got him on mute at the moment. But I do have other callers who have questions of Bill as well. Did you get all your questions answered, Sergeant Parks?
Yeah, but that's a good one that you came up with the polygraph and stuff. I think that that's a good idea, man. Thank you.
Thank you, James.
That's for everybody, for Alzheimer's and all the timers. But we have caller with the last four of 0377. Would you tell us who you are and where you're calling from, please, and what your question is of Joe from North Carolina or Joe Montana?
Raymond.
02.
Oh. Yes, this is Raymond. Hey, Joe, what's up? This is Raymond.
How you doing?
Good. I'm calling from California. And I want to talk about the veracity of the polygraph. I know dozens of people who take polygraphs every 6 months, and they lie on their polygraphs, and they pass. And these polygraphs are meant to protect the community, but they don't work. There is no such thing as 100%. What we need to do is we need to hold politicians accountable for what they say. If they don't say, then we can get them out. There's recall processes. There's all kinds of processes. And that's what we need to do. Listen, if you're not going to work for us, you need to go. See ya. We need to get rid of. There's people who have been in politics for 30, 40 years. What has gotten better in this country? Nothing has gotten better in the country because the same people are lying to us every single day. And those same people have divided us. There's a saying, united we stand, divided we fall. If the people of this country stood their ground and stood together, the politicians couldn't stand. And that's the issue. The issue is the division. You see, we have a dialectic. We have these two opposing, extreme opposing So let's just compromise and meet somewhere in the middle. And the middle never works because the middle is where all the liars are.
Interesting. So.
Well, you've got, again, that word if is the biggest word in the dictionary. Now, in principle,
right.
I would agree with you. I would agree with you. What we, meaning the American people, what we have to do is stand up, be noncompliant, face our corrupt politicians and get them out of there. However, we elect these politicians and put them in there as a result of our being a nation that is based upon laws and the republic. And when we put them in there, we put them in there for a certain amount of time, 2 years, 4 years, 6 years, whatever the term may be. But in that amount of time, they can do a lot of damage. And unless, and you were talking about recall laws. You said we have a lot of recall laws. I don't know very many states that have recall laws. And take a look at California. If that petition that was enacted to get Newsom out was not rigged, I don't know what was. Because people want that son of a bitch out. That petition was on the way up to get him out. And all of a sudden, just like Trump's election, hey, look. People want him to stay. Baloney. Okay? There's the whole thing is it's corruption, and we have – oh, here's the question, Joe. If you get into office, would you initiate an investigative body or assign or suggest that the AG in your state or the FBI, whatever you think would be the most important law enforcement agency, would you say to them, hey, I want you guys – to initiate an investigation into election fraud and into any kind of suspicions, legal suspicions, based upon facts collected by law enforcement of our politicians. In other words,
yes.
The state of the FBI, or you would, okay. Would you do it the first week that you got elected?
Yeah, you got me pretty busy the first week, but yeah.
Sure as hell do, don't I? Okay, that's it for now. Okay, anybody else want to ask questions, I'm going to put myself on mute.
Okay, you're fine. We have a couple of callers that have come in like 1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1. I'm going to unmute your lines in a minute, but we have Reverend Ronnie Marshall who's on the line with us. Do you have any questions or anything, comments, Reverend Marshall?
Thank you
for joining us.
Good evening,
first off.
Gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
Good evening.
Good evening,
Inez. Good evening, gentlemen. How are you all? I'd like to ask the incoming representative a question.
Mm-hmm.
What's your plan to make sure that the people, the low and moderate income people and the poor have access to capital in the different communities around you? What will you do to come back to traditional banks for not giving loans in their communities where people support them and use their products and services? What will you do for the agencies that are standing up, like the CDFIs? What would you make sure, and how would you make sure that money is going to come in that's filtered down from the federal government and get to the hands of the low and moderate income people and access to capital? What you going to do about that?
Well, deregulation, for starters. Deregulation will produce capital. The private sector has the ability and the talent and the know-how to create capital, okay? But when they're forced and they're restrained by the government through so many regulations, unconstitutional, which most of them are, the people can't get access to those funds and whatnot. And you would start by auditing the central bank, the Board of Federal Reserve of Governors in my state, and that's how you would start. Right, I believe the Federal Reserve should be ended, but if you just went and abolished the Federal Reserve right now, you'd crash the economy. So you don't want to do that. So you would have to start backing the dollar with some sort of substance, maybe back to the gold standard. I don't know. I'd have to look more into that. But, you know, we have a very, very conspicuous economy that's run by central bankers, and the fractional reserve banking practice is very, very ludicrous, number one, and printing money out of thin air, and there's no checks and balances. So you'd have checks and balances restored back to the local Board of Federal Reserve Governors. That's how you start that process. So, and deregulation.
Another question, Representative. there is so much killing going on in the communities around you and around the country.
Mm-hmm.
What you're going to do as a representative to combat the killing block to block, and how you're going to help those parents that have been traumatized by the murder of their children or mistaken identity, children receiving raps that they shouldn't have in penitentiary. What are you going to do to rally those parents together and make a difference in the community around you?
Well, our jails, first of all, the correctional system is not a correctional system. It's just a warehouse system. I'm against the prisons today. In our modern society, the idea of locking people in concrete boxes today is just not a realistic practice. So emptying out the prisons on a case-by-case basis would be something that I would look into most definitely, because that traumatizes people, putting them in these concrete boxes and keeping them there year after year for crimes that are just absolutely ridiculous and they shouldn't be in there to begin with. And as far as the violence in our streets, you know, it's very difficult to legislate morality, and we have to look at our families. You know, we have to look at the family values and the family structure out there. And emptying out the prison is a good start, because many fathers and mothers are locked away, and you have a one parent system out there, and we know what that breeds and leads to. So again, if you have a good economy, a vibrant economy, you won't have people out there trying to get over and trying to sling a dollar and break, you know, or hurt someone or become desperate. Because look, people do get desperate and they do crazy things when they get hungry or they can't pay their bills, and it's easy to pick up life in the fast lane and break the law. So if you restore the economy, that'll heal. That's the start of a healing process right there, where people can have good pay, you know, honest pay. You know, we don't need any more Dollar General jobs. We need jobs that are going to pay $30, $40 an hour to all the people out there. You go to any city, there's no real jobs anymore in the city. You all got, like I said, McDonald's, Dollar General. What's that? What is that going to get you? Where's that going to get you? What type of drive? What type of inspiration? What type of planning looking forward to the future does that bring? Nothing. You know, we need to build stuff, and we need to bring back that type of business to our country, actually, and to our state. And states and counties can do that by lowering the taxes. I know you may not like this, but it's a Republican idea, but lowering the corporate tax actually brings jobs, because these companies, these multi-billionaires, will pay more, and they will come here if there's a lower corporate tax. That's why many of them leave this country and they go to China, because they don't pay any taxes over there. So, you know, we have to do that. And if you have a good economy, like I said, you can guarantee that people will take advantage of it. A lot of good people out there really want to work but can't.
Well, how often will you?
Sorry, Pastor. I'll finish after you're done.
Yeah, I just got one short question. How often will you meet with the leaders of the African American communities as their representative? How often will you be with them so they'll get to know you? And how often will they be able to call upon you as a representative to do memorandums of understandings for amendments to change laws? How often will you meet with them?
Well, that would most definitely be the most important priority in my community, because those are the neighborhoods that are downtrodden and beaten up the most without jobs. So obviously I have to meet with them more at first than other communities, obviously, because they're the ones that, like I said, need the most deregulation and need more opportunity in their community. Except, you know, instead of having a liquor store on every single corner, maybe we should have something that's producing something, like a tool and die factory or some sort of computer graphics design factory, something along those, you know, that has some sort of continuity where people can use their brains instead of, their street smarts, you know? I mean, that's the best way I can answer that.
Thank you.
Are you finished, Pastor? Okay, I guess
yes,
you are.
Thank you. Thank
it's
you.
A good thing I am not. It's a good thing I'm not running for office, because Pastor, you would not vote for me. I would bolster.
I would bolster Joe Gibson's answer about the Federal Reserve. If we eliminated it, then the kind of economy that we have now, that would be presuming if we could, if we had enough non-corrupt politicians that would eliminate the Federal Reserve, then we would have them. Also, as a result of eliminating that, we would have an economy that everybody could prosper. In that economy, all boats would be lifted. Now, the reason why you would not vote for me is because I believe in discrimination. The gist of your question was, why are banks not lending out to black folk to the same degree that
now,
they are to white folk?
Lord Moderate income people, Joe.
I'm sorry. Did you say that again?
There's a difference.
Oh, okay. The thing is that black people have the right to not have white people at their clubs, their houses, their communities, except to walk down the street. But if they don't want white people in their houses, their clubs, et cetera, they shouldn't have them. If black people don't want to associate with white people, they shouldn't have them. But the government should not step in. There should be no such thing as forced integration nor forced segregation. All of us should have the right to associate with whomever we want without anybody else saying, and why are you doing that? Now, when it comes to the meeting with the leaders, if the economy was as good as I would, and I guess Joe Gibson would project it to be without the Federal Reserve, you wouldn't need to meet with the black representatives. Because, another thing, the reason why a lot of black people aren't employed is because the parents do not push the kids to do well in school. That is your responsibility, Pastor. Why aren't you or other pastors, deacons, et cetera, why aren't they teaching the parents, keep your kids inside the house, do their homework, don't let them outside until they finish their homework and make sure they get good school. That's doing. So I would put the blame on the parents and the pastors before I put the responsibility on politicians. Believe me, you don't want politicians in your family.
On that one, Joe. I'm sorry.
Joe, the other Joe.
Montana Joe, who just spoke.
Montana Joe
from... Okay.
I'm going with the Montana Joe. Number one, I'm speaking from the part of disparity, poverty. Now, some of the parents are working 2-3 jobs, not making excuses for any. And they do rely upon the church. Some of the churches, some of the schools, some of the teachers, some of the pastors are doing the best they can to get the message across. But now, if we get some money into these communities, you know, our representative stands and they take the ills of the communities to the board and to the table when they meet. Well, then they can get some funding for these disparate communities.
Mm-hmm.
They can get money for them, and if they could keep the playing field equal, if the representatives can bring fulfillment where the extraction is going on out of the low and moderate income areas. If they can put back what's extracted out, the wealth that's extracted out to take to the other communities, where these people are going to have to leave their communities and go over and support. Well, if the representative, when they see extraction going on, if they could put back into those communities the things that was extracted out, well, then those parents would have an opportunity because they could be working for a prevailing wage. If there's more than a dollar general store, if there's more than these little small-paying stores and stuff where people work at, if it's more in their community, if they have financial institutions in their community, then the unbanked can become banked. But with no financial
institutions. You and I would have a good debate, but right now this is Joe Gibson's hour or 2 hours. Anytime I'm on Mr. Nez's show again and you show up, you and I can have a nice little debate. Okay?
Okay, it's Joe, so fun, man.
Right now, this is Joe Gibson.
That's a
hour.
Good one.
So,
well, and,
so I'm not
and I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Okay, so we have two callers that have, like, they just have 1111. I'm going to unmute both their lines, and if they have, either one of them has anything to say, please say so. You can ask Joe Gibson, our representative out of Rockingham County, North Carolina, any questions. So I've unmuted the two lines. I don't know. I don't have any other numbers except for ending in 1111. Go ahead. And can you tell us who you are and where you're calling from?
Hello, Inez. This is Dustin from Atlanta.
Okay.
And Representative, I hear what you're saying, and you're absolutely correct if we can get the leaders of the black communities. But the truth and reality is none of the people in black communities believe in the leaders that are supposed to be representing us. And we have to solve that problem first. We can't sit here and blindly say, oh, well, you know, we'll use pastors. The political side, you have Atlanta broke down into five different sections, and then you have the representative of each one of those sections that reports to the mayor. And what are those?
Councilman.
So, you go into any place that you want to. I don't care what city it is. And you go to an average black person that's got, it doesn't matter, single mom, single dad, home, however it is, and say, you know, how do you feel about your councilman? 90%, I wouldn't even give 90, I'll say 60% of the time they don't have a clue who their councilman is because they're so busy doing their job. And their job is what? To take care of their home. That's where we start. You can flood all the communities with all the money you want to. But until we start getting families back to family, it's really a moot point. I can give you $1 million right now and say, hey, I need you to take 10 kids out of any 10 hoods and, you know, make these kids success stories. Well, that's easy as hell. But let's take 100,000 kids and give them the same success stories. Well, wait a minute. Now you're talking about millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars. Well, what does it really take? You know, you give the right back to the parents to be parents. You give the teachers right to teach. You know, these teachers, I have so much respect for any level grade teacher. I don't care from kindergarten all the way up to 12th grade. I give them so much respect because these kids today have no idea what respect is about, no idea what family is about. All they see is what they see on social media, on TV,
right,
and that's it, and what their friends tell them. So I can tell them, hey, I'm getting ready to dump $100 million into your community. And you know what they're going to say to me? I'm not going to see none of that money. But they're going to see better
That's
schools.
Right.
They're going to see better fire hydrants. You know, I'm going to use one that's right here in my own neighborhood. They just passed a memorandum not too long ago where they're putting, I think it was $60 million into fixing the potholes in our town. And I'm like, $60 million into potholes? You should be able to cover every damn street in here.
The government. You get $90 for a hammer. I got you on that,
I spent 10 years in the Navy, and I remember coming back into port, dropping $100,000 gate valves tied to 2 miles of wire and dropping them off the side of the ship so we don't have to declare them when we come back in. What sense did that make? Like, we have
That's
to
corruption
know
and waste. Corruption and waste.
It goes back to corruption. Yeah, right.
Yes.
You want to do something good? You want to do something good for the black community? Start putting money into black schools. Because in my DeKalb County, Georgia, right now, DeKalb County is the largest county in Georgia.
In DeKalb County, you have four different parts, and three of those four do not get the money. You go up north, you know, the higher end of DeKalb County, and Dalton, but all, really, all, not in the Dalton, I'm sorry. You go up into Gwinnett, you know, anywhere on those outskirts, and these schools have stadiums, soccer stadiums, full swimming stadiums. And my son, my youngest son just graduated. He was on a swim team. We just have to ride an hour to get to his swim meets. He has to ride 13
hours. Why is that? Why is that not known? And why is that not known amongst the people out there? That is not known to me, for instance.
We don't believe,
you know?
Because we don't believe in the people that are above us. We don't believe in them. All those people do is drive around in their rich-ass cars, and they come out and they shake our hand and, oh, thank you for voting for us. And if you do this, we're going to do that. But we find out that all the money goes to the rich schools. And I hate to say this, but the rich white schools. So
yes,
now you got schools like Miller Grove, and I use that, and I don't care who hears it, but Miller Grove High School, I have put more money in Miller Grove High School than some of the DeKalb County money that is put in there. Like, I tried before COVID, I had it set up to get their soccer field properly painted so that the kids knew where to,
the lines and stuff.
You have to do something drastically different in your community. You have to do something drastically different in your community. You have black leaders that don't care, like you said, in your community. They're probably Democrat. I mean, look, I'm not trying to sway here. I am a Republican. But, you know, why don't you get a Republican white guy in there to run your community and see what happens? Maybe that will change it.
You know what would happen? Is all the black people in there because they don't understand how these politics work. They don't understand what the true bigger picture in life is. All they care about is the fact that I have to go to this store tonight. I have to pay $4.44 for a gallon of gas, and I got to buy a gallon of milk, and I got to buy some eggs, and I got $40. And I got to make it to work for the rest of this week.
It's rough, I know. It's not right.
Right,
so
that's right.
The government can say whatever they want to say on how, oh, we're doing this and that and everything, but the truth and reality is let's start at the beginning. Give the parents the right to be parents. Give the teachers the right to teach. Let's make firefighters, police officers, social workers, especially social workers, all of these people that really, truly every day, and give them what they deserve to allow us to do it. I have some police officer friends, white and black, and I tell them every single day, yo, just go home. I just want you to go home. I shouldn't have to say that. When we were coming up, if a police officer said, get on the damn sidewalk, it wasn't a second thought. I didn't want you to call my dad and tell me I didn't get on the sidewalk. Because my dad was a parent. My mom was a parent. Now you tell these kids, yo, get on the sidewalk. Oh, my mama going to come down here and shoot you. What the hell?
Yep.
Where do you get that? And then you really look
Who's
at it, the mom comes
that?
Down there and trying to shoot you.
Well, it's a sign of the times. It's the fast times we live in. Desensitivity. Everything's me, me, me. You got your iPhone, your personal computer, PC. Everything's me, 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 and we have to reverse that. I don't want to get into a religious argument, but we did start off the show with religion in a way. You know, and the founding
God
of,
first.
You know, got
God
morals.
First. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Put God back in it. You know, and I tell people all the time, I don't care what you call him. I really don't. It's only one. There's 1,000 tongues on this earth. It doesn't matter what you call him. He's the creator. He did it all. It doesn't matter. I'm not going to be mad at a Muslim because he says this. I'm not going to be mad at a Buddhist because he says that. It's all the same dude. And so
when
people start realizing that's what it is, then we can start living.
One faith, one baptism.
Right now, in the United States, none of us are living. Well, top 1% is. The rest of us are surviving.
Barely.
That's the truth. And it's barely. I make
But your voice will not be heard. The voice with the message that you're echoing is really the message of a lot of people out there, but how come they're not being heard? I believe there's a deeper agenda here that's suppressing the good people out there and the elite evil is taking over.
Yes, let me tell you why they're not being heard. Because they're at work.
Well, that's true, yeah.
They're at work. they're at work.
The power, the power is supposed to be in the people. So if you believe in what you're saying.
Joe, hold on, Joe. Hold on, let him finish.
Okay.
I mean, Joe, Montana Joe. Hold on, let Dustin finish.
They're at work. You want to hear from those people?
Mm-hmm.
You really want to hear from those people? It's simple. It's easy. Take everybody's iPhone, Samsung, whatever it is, and allow them, while they're at work, put some headphones in and a microphone on them. Allow them to do their job and voice their opinion. You want to hear some shit? Excuse me, some stuff? You want to hear
some
stuff?
Good idea, actually. That's a good idea.
You want to hear it? Take any place. I don't care where you are. Go to any factory. Go to any 7-Eleven, anything, and allow somebody to speak their mind and still allow them to survive. I promise you, you're going to hear every word. If every person, if anybody, I don't care who it is, they'll tell you the same thing. I don't have an opportunity because I have to survive. I have to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And I promise you,
I
will vote for any person that can come to me and tell me that they will give my people an opportunity to speak their word and how they feel and listen. Brother, I promise you, you can run for president and you'll win.
Yeah.
I promise.
You have another call, and after that person, you supposedly finish. I got some stuff to say.
Okay, because I do have two callers, but they hadn't said anything. Like I said, they're calling from a funky number. So I don't know if they want to say anything.
It's 111, right?
If they do, please do.
They probably just want to listen unless they press 1.
And that's fine. That's totally fine. But I have a question. So what is your view on gun control, Joe, North Carolina Joe?
Well, that's like I'm Second Amendment Constitution. I've said that from the beginning. You know, shall not be infringed.
Okay.
You know, look, all these gun-free zones, look what, you know, obviously if it's a gun-free zone, a criminal is going to go to a gun-free zone to try to rob or kill you. You know, so, you know, we're not going to get rid of the Second Amendment. We're not going to eliminate guns. You're not going to swoop them all up. It's a part of our culture. It's a part of our history. And I like what the last callers did say, though. Create opportunity. The guns will go away, and people will put them away.
You said about talking about gun control, don't say right, Inez. When I had that discussion with you last week, you were all for non-gun-free zones. Remember when I gave you that analogy? And I talked about community, no guns.
Oh,
no, me.
So don't say like you're for all of a sudden you're for guns.
Maybe she changed your mind.
I just asked the question of him, how he felt, because I know that we had talked about it a little bit last time. But
he said the same thing I said. But you're not for gun control. You are for gun control.
I want gun control because... And I have my right as what I believe control is. Go ahead, Dustin.
Right. I'm sorry. I spent 10 years in the United States Navy. The simple fact that I'm an American and I have the right to protect my home. It goes all the way back to the very beginning of what I said. You give these parents a right to be parents. You give people the right to be to train their children the way that they need to train their children. I have weapons all over my house. I've been shooting since I was 4 years old. I have every one of my children from the age of 6 all the way up all have gun training. They know how to safe a weapon.
Okay.
When if one of their friends walks up and, hey, I got this, they immediately safe that weapon. Immediately. It is not a second thought. It's nothing else. Gun safety is the number one biggest problem right now. These kids think
that
they get to go GTA. All the young knuckleheads in my neighborhood that live in it, they walk up and, hey, Mr. Goosby, how are you doing? I'm doing fine. What's that you got in your waistband? Oh, I just got me a Glock 40. What you know about that weapon? That's the first thing I ask them. I'm not trying to take it from them. I'm trying to ask them what they know about that weapon. I said, do you
what
know,
the education
you know
of their
up?
Minds are.
Do you know how to make sure that this weapon is safe? Well, what do you mean? And I, you know the video I show them? I show them the two kids playing in that bathroom with that gun, and the little girl shot the little boy and then killed herself. I show it to them. And I said, I said, it's your little brother and your little sister right now playing because you didn't safe that weapon. And you know what's funny? Every time I open my mouth to teach any one of them gun safety, you know, every one of them pay attention. You know, every last one of them pays attention.
Okay.
You have to start. You're not going to say, you're absolutely right. You're not going to get all these guns on the street. It's not going to happen. You're not going to stop these kids from carrying these guns. You want to do something really phenomenal? Build boxing rings on every corner.
Right.
And you put a police
that's what I said.
Right
punching bags.
Box. And if I got an issue with you, you go stand in here. Here's your gloves, your headrest, and y'all fight it out. Because that's what we did when we were little.
Well, if you have a boys club, you can do that. You were talking about the right to be parents. Nobody took away any parents' right. You were talking about the right to be parents.
Yes, it is. The second that a child was able to call 911 and the parent was questioned for corporal punishment.
Oh, I see what you mean. Okay, yeah. All right. Yeah, you're right about that.
Sorry.
You're right.
My kids will tell you to this day, and all my kids are over the age of 18, my kids will tell you to this day, if you are disrespectful to me, corporal punishment is still in my life. I don't care. And do like the judge did in South Carolina. You know, you make this a federal law. If you want to whip your kid and you're scared about going to jail, go down to the police department, ask for the off-duty officer, and let him watch you spank your kid for shooting at the damn neighbor. I bet that shit don't go. I bet it don't happen that often. You know, I can't say that because I'm hurting somebody's feelings, and these kids should not be this way. No, it didn't kill none of us. We fell out of trees. Mm-mm. We rode bikes without helmets. We rolled up in the back window. Let these kids get dirty. Let them get down and fall out some trees and break some just have some fun. But these kids right now,
they
don't get it. They don't because we don't allow it to happen. You know,
as a matter of fact, as an extension of that, an extension. They're not even allowing kids to be kids because you're talking about here, you know, riding bicycles without helmets. They want to. In some states, they ban playgrounds because they don't want the kids to. Their ostensible reason, they don't want the kids to fall and get hurt. That's baloney. They're trying to control every aspect of everybody's mind.
Yep.
That's what it's all
government
about.
Government control.
Well, I got a few playgrounds that I wish that those big metal slides went on there because I burnt the hell out of myself going down them. You know, but you know the truth and reality is. You know, we have to, we've got to figure it out. We have to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of unbelievably intelligent kids out there. And these kids are faster and smarter than we are, not even trying. But the bigger picture is, how do you get those kids to understand where we're coming from? Because they don't get it. They don't. I hired a kid the other day. The kid was 22 years old. And I've been building here in Atlanta for almost 30 years. I'm really good at what I do. This kid worked one day, framed one wall with me. One wall. Because I had to go through the whole entire process. The next day he came in and he was talking like he owned the country. And I just laughed at him.
He was given a little responsibility and respect, and that's a little out of the problem today is that, you know, the community isn't given that, and then that's where you breed hatred, division, and racism, too.
And you know, we always talk about racism on One Direction, but I'll be honest with you. The average black person that I know that lives in the middle-income neighborhood I live in don't want to have anything to do with a white person. None. You're coming over. You're coming you're going to be a Karen. You're going to be a Ken. I got a white neighbor, right? And, you know, we was talking the other day, and he said, Dustin, he said, it's a shame I have to pick the time that my kids go outside and ride on their bikes. I said, what you mean? He's like, none of the kids will play with them. Why? Why? Because they're white? They don't want their parents to come out and say, I'm going to sue you? Man, I grew up in the hood. And literally, he grew up in the apartment complex across from me. We rode the same bus together. And his kids can't come outside and play. Why? We got to start somewhere.
Why? It's because of it's a concerted effort to divide America across every kind of line and issue that there is. Sexual issues, racial issues, economic issues, because where there's discord, confusion, and chaos, it's easier to take down America. It's all a concerted effort to do so. That's why.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
This isn't done by accident.
There's an elite evil. There's an evil elite out there, and we were talking about the Federal Reserve, the people that own these Federal Reserve banks, the elite, the bankers, and they are. They're evil. They're filthy, rotten. They don't like people. They don't, and they're white and black. They don't care who you are. They just don't like you, and they're because of an evil. They have an evil within them, and that's why I said in the beginning of the show, we got to restore God. We got to have a righteous foundation to stand upon, and there has to be opportunity that created for all people.
Right.
You know, and, right. You know. I mean, and mm-hmm. the founding fathers. Yes. Okay. This one owned slaves. This one. We can't get on that those tangents. The Constitution gave us the tools to fix it, and we did as time went on down the road. Except we became more divided now because now it's all about opportunity and lack of opportunity. And we have to fix that because there's enough out there. America could be a great place for all, you know, a great example. And I believe we have the greatest document, the Constitution, to promote that and stand upon that. And education, those schools that he was talking about that are not equally funded, that if that was happening in my district, that would be a big issue I would run on because that is a shame. And I did not, you know, I didn't even hear about something like that. That's new to me, and I want to look into it in my district, actually. So, you know, it's just not heard of. And it's kept in a lot of the real media and real news, like this podcast show, for instance, is kept from the people. You know, this should be something that everyone should be listening to out there, not watching the Dumb Bowl on Sunday. You know, something that's paid for and bought for by the bankers because it's all rigged. You know, stuff like this people should be listening to. People like us talking on a real level, common sense level, even if we disagree, having a real conversation about things.
Well, could I say something to Representative Garin? Now, I was listening to Dustin, and he was talking about the communities there in Atlanta, in Georgia, I think it is. But for the most part, mm-hmm. now you say money is not the problem. But think about it. If there was money in those hard-hit disparity communities where they're hit the hardest, the low-income, moderate people, mm-hmm. well, think about it. If they had money coming into those communities, to those different ages that are really getting the money to the people, you could build learning centers. You could build computer tech centers and all this kind of thing. They would have a place to go. You could even build an auditorium where they could have forums discussing the issues and the ills of their communities. So it must be money put into the communities, into the hands of the people, the working people. Now, listen, without the low and moderate income people in these communities, the rich wouldn't be rich. Elon Musk wouldn't be where he is if he didn't have poor people involved. So the communities and the poor people in the communities that support the rich and make the rich rich, well, then the Representative Jonium, they got to make sure that these hard-hit communities that are left out where the wealth has been extracted out, he got to make sure that when he goes to the table for the funding, that he put funding not only in the White Pill Hill communities, but in the low and moderate in communities, too, where there's no money. Because if there's no money, mm-hmm. it's going to be disparity,
crime,
murder, and all mm-hmm. kind of evils going on constantly. But when mm-hmm. those communities mm-hmm. can be built up, where they're extracting the mm-hmm. wealth out of, put that money back into mm-hmm. the community. We don't need people
right.
going to the table talking about we don't need money in our community. Yo, the parents are working as hard as they are because the wage is so low. the money do need to be in the community. They need good jobs.
That's right.
Good paying jobs with prevailing wages where they want to go to school. They're making enough money to pay their bills, their house note, their rent, where they still can go to school and follow their education. But if there ain't no money coming in there, if the representative and people standing up talking all this crazy talk, we don't need money, ain't the problem. Money is the problem in these hard-hit areas. Don't tell me money ain't the problem. It ain't even about the politicians. The politician needs to go to the table when they represent these different areas, the district, and they need to get money, institutions where the people, working people, can have money to sustain themselves from one payday to another. Now, if they don't do that, if they don't put money back into these communities, all this talk has been going on for years now, and nothing has changed.
Well, the other part of it is you really want to help the average person make free health care. Because I know right now, all the way up until May 17th, I know that I paid $492 a month for health care for kids that never used it. Can I get that money back? Can I get it back? I'm just saying. All five of my kids, for the past 11 years, I only had one break, and it was a pinky, and it cost me $2,500 out of pocket.
Well, that's the trick of insurance. That's the trick of insurance. You have to get used to that because you pay for it in case something happens.
One of my best friends and business partners, he is from Africa, but he's raised in Canada. He fell off a ladder on one of our projects. He broke his heel. You know, he flew back to Canada, had a full x-ray barrage done. I went with full x-ray barrage done. The doctor came in and said, hey, you have two choices. We can let it heal how it's healing right now, or we can do surgery and you'll probably stumble for the rest of your life. And guess what he paid to go and get that done?
$500.
Not even close.
$100.
He stopped at the store. He stopped at the gas station and filled his car up, and it cost him $80 to fill his car up. Because when he walked in, it didn't cost him anything.
All right, that's an example that you're giving about
if you want to do something special, you want to give a stimulus back, you take all these people that are spending all of this money on health insurance, and if they don't use it at the end of the year, give it back to them.
That's not the way insurance works.
Give it back to them.
It's not the way insurance works, and then you would have to do a memorandum of understanding.
Right. And it's not the way.
Because I would love to have that almost $500.
And that's not the way insurance works.
It's
not the way it's supposed to work.
I can honestly say I'm speaking for 90% of Americans. Or actually 99, because the other 1% doesn't give a damn.
I'm going to tell you again, that's not the way it works. It's not the way it's supposed to work.
If you have to pay health insurance,
he's not listening.
Or you have to pay a copay.
That's another problem.
Or anything in that nature. If you need it, okay, cool. But if you don't, give it to me in the back.
Do you hear me?
I don't mind you charging me for it. I might need it. But at the end of the year, if I don't use it, let me have it.
Hello, and Dustin.
You'd have to talk to your representative about that, Dustin.
The after-school programs that I'd love to put them in. I'd love to be able to send my kids to
Is anybody hearing me?
Washington, D.C. trip. I'd love to be able to do
that. Hey, Dustin, you want to listen to something?
But who's that?
That's not the way it works. That's not the way it's supposed to work. Understand? Insurance is a pool. Insurance, actually, if it's working properly, and as long as the government isn't involved and it does work properly, it saves money because if you get hurt, then the insurance premiums that you've been paying for, if you pay for it as a young man, for example, then you get your money's worth. But the fact you don't pay insurance and then get your money back at the end if you don't use it, that makes insurance companies go broke. And there'd be no such thing as insurance. That's not the way it works. That's not the way it's supposed to work.
So they could charge me $900 a pill for some high blood pressure medicine. They could charge me $900 a pill.
Talk to Big Pharma. Don't talk to insurance companies about that. I'm telling you that's not
the
way it works.
It's all the same racket. It's all the same racket.
That's because you believe it's a racket.
All the pills cost the exact same to make. All of the pills cost the exact same thing. Every machine that makes a pill makes the same pill. They just put different ingredients in. It's all the same.
You're
it's
talking
like making
about,
a dollar
again,
pill.
It boils down to corruption, not only in government, but also in big pharma. But when you're talking about insurance companies, I'm sure there's corruption in there too, but that's not the way it works. It works on an actuarial level. It saves money if you know what you're doing. Here's the thing about insurance.
Medical.
You're talking over
that
me. Hello. Okay.
That's
the way insurance works. You cannot, for example, get fire insurance and then burn down your house. You can't get life insurance and then try to kill somebody. You can't get health insurance and then try to get paid by not telling them that you've got.
I understand what you're saying.
Hold on a second. Hold on. Hold on, will you? You mind holding on?
Y'all respect,
so that you can learn
respect
something?
Respect each other. Respect each
Good
other.
Good God. All right. So stop talking over me. You're not talking about something which is true. It's like having health insurance and not telling them that you've got cancer and all of a sudden say, hey, you know what? Hey, I'll tell you what. I got cancer now. Can I buy your insurance? Hey, okay. No. It's supposed to be a protection in case you have it. Understand? No, you don't.
But if you don't use it, give it back.
No. Jesus Christ.
If you don't use it, give it back.
Will you stop?
Did you ever run a business?
Did you ever run a business?
Sir, I have ran one of the most successful construction businesses in Atlanta, Georgia. So that is, you can't say that to me. But and this is exactly why we get into where we are. If you go, and let's just say you do this for the life of your child as far as high school, for the 4 years that they're in high school. And you say, okay, I will pay you $500 a month to make sure that my kid has health insurance through that whole entire entity of high school. They graduate, nothing happened, you never used it. What is it waiting? Why wouldn't you give that money back?
Well, don't they have a write-off for you on your taxes?
Oh, that's funny. Oh my God! What does write off on the tax to the average person that makes $7 an hour at KFC?
That's why you need more viable business that's in the community making more than that they can make. See, that's why you should never say, Dustin, that it's the money is not the problem. You're sitting here talking about a $7 wage, right? You should never say. If you're in that area where $7 wage is going on, money should always be the situation that you're speaking on, being that you're a businessman in that area, because you need money to take the wages up to a prevailing wage. But if all the money is going across town and nothing is coming to the hard-hit communities, they don't work for $7. In New Orleans, some places, they're working for $4 an hour. Why? Because the representation ain't speaking about none of that. That's what needs to happen. Money needs to be put into these hard-hit communities. You need financial institutions there where they can teach the unbanked how to be banked, how to watch their credit scores, how to manage their money. If it's never been taught, you can't expect it. When you get through, and at the end of the day, the representative, no, I'm telling the truth. You're going to have money into these communities.
In the bigger picture of America, you are absolutely right. In the bigger picture of America, you're absolutely right. Even if you put what's the biggest employer right now here? Amazon would be the biggest employer right now that pays the best. You could put 100 fulfillment centers in Decatur, Lithonia, Stone Mountain, anywhere in DeKalb County, and and Northern DeKalb County would still get all of the money. They're not
representation.
The places that are producing that could give jobs like that, none of those jobs are here. None of them. None of them.
Well, how could you say that they don't need money?
if you want us to work, put some place for us to work. But you can't do that. You won't do it. Because we require entirely too much. And then we get mad at the people that have worked for that. You know, I hear it all the time. Mexicans taking a job. No, they just go to work.
You got to need some jobs. You got to need some training.
You need, look, money into a community, again, is corruption. You also need morals. Why are single parents and having kids at the rate of about, what, 43% of all babies in America and something like 60% of babies in black communities are born out of wedlock? Why is that?
Absolutely. we took family
Why
away.
Is it?
There's no family no more.
Okay.
It's not.
There's no trade schools. None of that going on.
Nothing for anybody to look.
If people are very interested in what they want to do to help their communities, let them get together and help their communities. Because if you keep trying to reach out to the government's always going to F you in the butt. Do it yourself.
Yeah,
show the government that you're viable, that you're a viable organization, and then maybe the government, if you watch them, can give you the money that you need.
Would you do
does that
me
make
a favor?
Sense?
Yes, it does. Would you do me a favor? Would you go online at any time, YouTube, it doesn't matter, and teach a class on how to get black people together? If you could do
what's
that,
so hard about getting, what's so hard about getting black people together? I don't understand that. What's so hard about getting black people together?
Because
if you have a party, you can get black people from everywhere, man. I mean, what's so hard about getting black people together?
You can get them together. You can get them together for about 15 minutes. You can get them together for about 15 minutes.
I would think it would be, why isn't it
the
responsibility of the pastors and deacons to do that? Why can't they do it?
Why? Because we don't know how.
Well, how come the representatives can't do it?
I don't know how to trust the facts. If you came to me and said, Dustin, I got this great idea, and I this is going to work, and this is how it's going to go, I don't know how to trust because of the mentality that has been spread my whole entire life. I don't know how to trust the fact that the reason why you're doing this is because you're going to be better than me when this is all said and done. It's the crab in the
That's Stone Mountain teaching, man. You know?
No, that is not. From Little Rock, I can go to L.A., I can go anywhere else. Black people, we get together. Yes, we had race riots, and we're angry and everything else. And how long does that last? A month?
Well, you know what?
It's still happening.
You've got,
these police are still beating the hell out of us and killing us. It's still happening.
You've got
and we ain't did nothing about it.
You have got a perfect opportunity for you to show black people what to do then. If
Once
you know
again,
what the problem is, then you should go ahead and help your people.
I can get 1,000 people
together. I agree with that.
And out of 1,000 of those people, 700 of them will sit back and he's going to get that check as soon as we do the hard work.
Can I comment?
Not knowing that I'm going to give the same check back to every last one of them.
Inez, may I comment?
Hold on, Sergeant Parks. Are you all finished? Go ahead,
ma'am.
Sergeant Parks.
Sergeant Parks. Everybody, you know, has great ideas.
Mm-hmm.
I want to thank the gentleman from North Carolina. I want to thank Montana Joe and everybody else on the line. But, you know, that's part of the problem. And that is that we can agree to disagree, and then we'll lead this conversation, and then nothing else take place. That's why I really despise having these conversations, because we don't get to what are we going to do collectively to be able to solve the problem. The problem with white people trying to solve black people problems is that's the problem. we should be trying to solve our own problems.
Amen.
And what? Let me finish, please. I'm only going to be on 2 minutes, guaranteed. Going to leave in 2 minutes. We should be trying to solve our own problems. If you have problems that in your community, and if your community just happens to be all black, then you need to work harder in that community. If you want to see that community prosper, and you come out with a whole bunch of ideas. The Republican from North Carolina came out with great ideas. Honesty and trust. Let's get rid of corruption. Montana Joe has put his finger right on it. We had to get back to parenting our kids. We got to parent our damn kids. Okay? Now, what's the best solution and stuff that we can come to? Well, I'm going to tell you what I'm doing. Okay? And I think I already talked to Joe from Montana and Inez. Every day in my community and stuff, I make it known that I am willing to do my part.
Oh yeah,
I am willing,
I remember,
to help.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not gonna be used. Okay, and what I do, I try to do it for all young people, because mm-hmm. what we're leaving them is bull junk. Young people, we need to be concentrating on.
Mm-hmm,
young black
mm-hmm.
men in particular, you know. So everything is good. I love this discussion and stuff, but how can we take this to the next level? And I would love to see North
Everybody
Carolina,
the
guy from North Carolina, I would love to see him get into office. And I hope to God that he runs and he do what he says that he going to do. It doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or a Republican. It matters the stuff, how you treat people, okay? Normally when you get there, you get the money, you get the influence, you forget about everything
mm-hmm.
that you promise, unless you promise the people that got the money, the people that helped put you there for a specific reason. We need to get
mm-hmm.
away with
mm-hmm.
that. You know, so I really enjoy the conversation, but black people have to, we have to stand up with each other. And the reason we all poor as hell, because we don't have dollars running in the black community.
That's the
reason
problem.
We don't have dollar bills running in the black community. We run out and we want to buy Tide and we want to do all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the problems. You don't own your own property, what can you look for? If you don't own something, what can you look for? You need to get with people that are going in that direction. And we're going to have to trust each other. We would rather trust a white man. Now, I'm not saying all white people are not bad. All black folks are not good. Okay? So we need to be able to stand up together and stuff. Vote on what it is that we want to do, and let's do it. But not for us. We already had our heyday. I've been around the world 19 times, man. We had our heyday. But there's no place like America, I'm going to tell you. In my worst day, there's no place
yep.
like America.
You're right.
Okay. So, hey, guys, I love you guys. Hey, I hope you get, elected. I hope you get elected.
Hold on,
thank you, sir.
Sergeant,
I appreciate
Park.
That, man. Thank you.
Hold on, Sergeant Parker.
That's North Carolina,
Joe.
I have one more question.
I have one more question for him, for you to hear and everybody else to hear before you leave. And that question is this.
Okay.
Now, Joe. If you
yes,
do
sir.
Get elected, remember, you put skin in the game. You said, if I was elected within the first week, I would perform these particular operations in order to
sure.
investigate corruption. If you did not and do not do what you're going to say you would do in the first week, would you advocate for a recall In other words, so that the constituents can say, we're not going to wait for him to get out of there in 2 more years or 4 more years. We want him out of there now. Would you be an advocate for that?
Of course. If I was not, if I didn't do what I said I was going to do, well, you got to remember now, any circumstances can happen. I could get watered down with a bill. You got to remember, you have to be careful when you hold people to strict deadlines. 1 week is not that long of a time. I have a 2-year period to do what I say I'm going to do. Okay, that's why I have a 2-year term. All right. So that's what I'm going into office to do, not to do everything in a week, because you have to be careful. You're dealing with people's lives. You're creating legislation. You're nullifying legislation. You're a lawmaker. You're affecting people's lives for probably a long time to come. So that's why I have a 2-year term. So I'll answer the question that way.
All right. So let me follow up with that. You had already agreed that you would do it in one week. I'm not talking about completing the assignment. I'm talking about
particular issues. You're talking about just those particular issues, corruption, beginning the legislative process on exposing corruption.
No, not just the legislative process. Remember, I said you would go around to the Republicans and ask them, you know, are you for this particular legislation? If I were to sponsor it,
I would begin the process. It
would
take longer than a week to go around to 127 Republicans.
Right, but it wouldn't take 2 years either. Would you be an advocate for recall of not just you, but any politician who, when they make a campaign promise and have a deadline set to it? Okay, good.
Campaign promises, if they are broken, yes, the politician should be recalled, and he should sign a promise, a campaign promise, a pledge. Yes, I agree with that.
You know what you reminded me of? Do you remember, because it seems to me like you're a person who likes to follow politics and has a history of politics. Do you remember when Gingrich had that contract with America?
Yeah, in the early 90s, 1994, around there, yeah.
94. Now, this is a lesson for the other people who are listening. When he had that contract with America, part of that contract was that the Republicans at that time were not going to seek re-election when their term was up. But you know what? Almost every one of them violated that particular term, that contract, and sought re-election.
Yeah, and that's wrong.
I know. And we as Americans, we have to be on the lookout all the time. We have to be vigilant. If we're not, look what happens to us. So that's all I got.
I just want
to say thanks to you, Joe, for being on the
show.
Yes.
And thanks to you, Inez.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Inez, for having
us here. You're welcome. And we do have a caller who just joined us. I want to see who they are, where they're calling from, and what question they have of for North Carolina Joe, and it ends in 4953.
North Carolina Joe, where you're calling from? I got a question for North Carolina Joe. I use my AR-15 when I go squirrel hunting.
Yeah.
And why is it that Congress, especially the Democrats and some rhino Republicans, want to take that away from me?
Well, I mean, because they want to control you and own you. That's why. And whatever you use your AR-15 for, it's your business. If you want to shoot jelly beans with it, and because guns were not put there anyway for hunting. They're there to protect us against the government, the tyrannical government. That's what the Second Amendment is there for. Okay, so because they want to control you. That's why they want to take it away from you. And I'm going to tell you right now, two senators in North Carolina. I know one of them actually. I was at a meeting with one of them, and he promised he would not vote against anything that had to do with the Second Amendment, any type of legislation that the Democrats or anyone proposed, and he did. He's a traitor. And both of them are traitors, actually, and we're trying to get him out, and I like what he said about campaign promises. He made a pledge to our grassroots organization here, ncgrassroots.gov, that if he was supported by them, that he would not vote against the Second Amendment, and he did, Senator Burr there. So he's a traitor, and he should be thrown out of office. I like that.
You should kick him out of office. My AR-15 can have an interchangeable chamber barrel for 22 long rifles or 22 caliber slugs.
Sure.
It can be it has a barrel for 22 long rifle, which is, you know, ideal for a squirrel hunt. So
sure.
These people don't know what the hell they're talking about in the argument. They're just going by
they don't know
the
anything.
Popular consensus, and you got all this, you have what you have. Thank you very much, sir. I would vote for you, even though I don't live in North Carolina. What the hell? Everybody else is just
Oh, man.
Thank you,
Dion.
Thank you,
Hey, I just want to say something, though. I appreciate your callers. Obviously, all of them are passionate callers, mm-hmm. and, you know, and that's good. That, and this, and I like what that other caller said. It shouldn't stop right here. We have the capabilities mm-hmm. to network together, to connect instantly. Mm-hmm. We all got our smartphones and our iPhones and personal computers.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason why we can't take this to the next level and work together.
Correct.
And build right. grassroots organizations. Put our little pennies and $100 bills together to get people into
mm-hmm.
office, not just me, but other people that have share the
mm-hmm.
views like everyone else on this platform here tonight, and get these criminals the hell out of there. That's all I
right,
got to say. Thank
right,
you.
Exactly.
You know what? I want
no,
to
you're
say,
fine, you're fine.
I also want to, I also want to say that I'm going to make a prediction that what you were talking about, Joe, with the traitor. I believe, because
yep.
I don't know if
mm-hmm.
you're a Trump supporter. I know you're a constitutionalist.
Is that like
I'm
Trader
Morgan.
Joe?
I'm not. No, it's not like Trader Joe. You know the 25 people, of the 25 people that Trump had supported, 24 got in. I'm going to make a prediction that 12 out of 24 turned out to be rhinos.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah.
I heard what the rhinos are. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
well,
Reverend Ron, you have any last? Yeah, no, we're not going to do that. Reverend Ron, you have any last words to say?
Sure. I sure hope that the Representative Joe put institution, speak for the people in the community to have financial institutions mm-hmm. in their communities like CDFIs so that they can get money to the poor people who's working every day, the mothers and fathers
mm-hmm.
who need that extra help from payday to payday. Everybody's not living
right.
on income where they can wait.
I'd like to see credit unions, actually, and more credit unions in the low-income
CDFI credit unions,
areas,
yes.
You know.
But you yep. want it to be non-traditional so they can get money even if their FICO scores
mm-hmm.
or their credit scores is bad. Still, they
I
can
agree.
Get a loan
mm-hmm.
upon their ability to
mm-hmm.
pay back. We need
right,
our representatives.
Right.
We need our spokesmen around this country to speak that money goes into these hard-hit communities. You'll see then if
mm-hmm.
the poor people get the money, they some of the crime,
mm-hmm.
You get rid of some of the crime if you can get money
right.
into these hard-hit communities. Where
we got to be careful
with
character assassination. See, the problem is when you get people like what you're talking about, even myself, if I get up, if we're ever to get up there, God forbid, just run for a national office, the first thing they're going to do is I'm going against the machine. They're going to character assassinate me in the media, and the whole entire country is going to buy it, and then I'm going to be, you know,
mm-hmm.
and that's what they did with Ron Paul. I mean, so, you know, we got to be careful. We have to use common sense and believe in each other and believe
mm-hmm.
the words that we say and by the actions of what we do. Don't listen to the media, man. Don't listen to the freaking TV. That's it. I mean, they are controlling
right.
and have a narrative for their own agenda.
For everything.
No, I'm not listening. I'm not just not listening to TV. I'm talking about real life, man. This is not just
right.
TV. We need financial institutions in these hard-hit areas where the low and moderate income
mm-hmm.
people can get help. Monetarily help access the capital. That's what they need.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody trying to buy,
mm-hmm.
trying to bypass this. But this, if you're going to modify the schools, you're going to have to have money. If you're going to put
mm-hmm.
learning centers in these communities for these children after school programs, it's going to take money
Pastor.
To do it. Yeah, go ahead,
Pastor. I don't think anybody would actually disagree with you. But the thing is, we also have to follow the money trail. Because when
that's
the money
true.
Lands
yeah,
in any
that.
Community, are you there?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then we have to make
mm-hmm.
sure that the money goes where it's assigned to where it belongs. But it gets
right.
siphoned off
exactly.
into the mob, into the lobbyists,
to the right.
into the and into the
mm-hmm.
pockets of the politicians. We have to be careful about that.
Mm, to the right places. That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Destin, you
and
have anything?
Joe,
any last
leave,
words to say?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Can I say this? I just
yes,
want to
sir.
Say one more
mm-hmm.
thing. Joe, mm-hmm. next time we have a show, if you ever have a politician on, can I come on and grill that politician?
You got my word. Yes, you can.
Okay,
fine. You did a good job vetting me. I'm going to tell you right now, you had me going there for a little bit. You were harder than that reporter there from WXI, you know. But real quick, if anybody does want to check out my website, though, it's www.josephgibson.us. Very simple. So you'll see what I'm about there, okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. And we did have another caller. Go ahead.
You are... I have dealt with several politicians and had several passionate conversations. Sir, I would vote for you in a heartbeat.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. Thank you.
I wish I could bring you down here in Little Lithonia, Georgia, and let you come and interrogate some of these damn people that are running for office.
Well, if I'm elected, just because I'm up here does not mean I can't go down there, you know, as a friend or a guest someplace and speak to a community or town hall. There's no reason why I can't. I mean, you're an American, right? We're all Americans.
Well, I'm telling you right now that you definitely have a quarter down here in Lithonia, Georgia.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yes, sir. And I hope, Inez, if you have any other person and he gets to come on to do the interrogation. I promise you, you better text me 100 times that day so I make sure I'm here.
You guys can go at it pretty good. You guys might have a one night.
When you say the interrogation.
I appreciate you. And, Inez, I appreciate you. And I hope that I can't wait to hear from you again, sir. And I will be following you as soon as I get in this house and get on this laptop.
Thank you, man. Appreciate that. Thank you.
You know the difference between Joe from North Carolina and Joe from Montana, don't you?
Yes, we do.
Uh-oh.
No, not you and there's nothing. He's saying he would vote for Joe from North Carolina, but then he wants him to interrogate. I'm the interrogator. He's the one running for the office.
Miss Inez.
Hello?
Yes.
I would like to challenge everybody on this radio station tonight, every participant on the panel. I would like for you all I'm challenging everybody to donate $100 into the radio program because we need this platform all around the world. We need this platform where we can have these discussions that are so necessary for the community. And Mr. Representative from North Carolina, if you could do more, we would appreciate it. If your campaign could do more, but we would like to challenge everybody on this radio station tonight, if you will, for the radio station, for the ingenuity of Sister Inez, if you all would do $100 or more if you can. We would appreciate it very much because we need this platform.
Well, I have her information, so I definitely will send a donation to her platform. Yes, I will do that. I'm supposed to be the one asking for money, though, because I'm running for public office. But since you asked, I will do it.
Inez, if you would give your cash out to everybody so that we can put into this. If we do more of this, then we can have more conversations that are so necessary around this country.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's $ANA ISE V as in Victor AL C as in Charlie OUR. That's $ANA ISE V as in Victor AL COUR. And that's Cash App. Cash App. And your website again was www.josephgibson.us, correct?
That's correct, yes, ma'am. www.josephgibson.us. Very easy to remember. And I appreciate everybody and the kind words that they did say. I mean, and he put me through some tough questions. I mean, which is fine. That's what you have to do to these politicians. You're absolutely correct. And hold them to it. Hold them to their promises. I like that, you know, the campaign pledges.
Hold their feet to the fire.
Promises.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right, their feet to the fire. We do have somebody who just joined us with the last four of 0055. I don't know if they have anything they'd like to say or if they have any questions of North Carolina Joe. If so, would you please introduce yourself and ask your question? The last four, 0055 or 0055.
Hi, I'm Sarah. Yes, I'm Sarah. I just tried in. I didn't get a chance to hear any of the conversations. So, again, I don't really have a comment right now, but I do enjoy listening to all the different opinions, and I do like and would support the radio station in order to,
thank you,
like the gentleman said, in order to, you know, continue these types of conversations. We need them.
Have these
so
platforms.
I applaud
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, I applaud you.
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you, Sarah.
You're welcome.
Anybody else have any conversations? Anybody else? 5-3.
Let's try to see what we can come up with after the discussion and what we're going to do. Even if we don't do nothing in our own community, let's do something in our own community. You know.
Right.
Any small victory is great.
There's a big thing.
And getting together locally is very important. You're right. Creating local assemblies in your community is what you really have to do first. And then that will feed off of it and grow nationally. Because, you know, it's so hard. The country's so large and there's so many different communities out there. Start off locally with the many different people we've had already on here from different parts of the country. You know, we start something here, a movement or what have you, or just a positive vibration of energy that we can feed off of each other and to our neighbors. You're standing in line at the grocery store. Mm-hmm. Hey, tell them about this podcast show or tell them about me or someone else that you're voting for. That's what we have to do.
Thank you.
Amen.
I am.
Go ahead, Joe. Montana Joe.
Okay. Joe, the next time you have a show, I'm going to talk to you about that because I disagree with you about the importance of the local politics. Because I know you disagree with me. If it's on your show, you know, it'll be on your shirt.
But the thing is, local politics
good? Sure. But the cancer stems from the federal government. We have to actually correct the federal government because they supply money to the states, which then control the mayors, which then control the councilmen. It all comes down from the head. The head of the snake.
I get what you're trying to get at there, yeah. But right now there's so too few good of us out there doing what's right that we're taking on a monster machine that's so corrupt. And that's the only reason why I say start locally, because if you infiltrate and, you know, start off with a few, and even the corrupt, most evil men around the world started off with a handful of few, and they grew into a large, populist government. I mean, just look at Mao from Hitler, for instance. I mean, you know, I mean, for goodness sake.
Oh, yeah. Hitler's a famous case, and I hear you, but I don't think we have enough time. If we had time, then maybe we could grow. Movement, I'm all for.
Yeah.
But for a local council,
this is the moment.
Yeah,
and
I hope so.
Let's start.
There you go.
I want to see it. All right.
And
but I don't think
you
we
all
have
are
time.
More than welcome.
I think it's fun.
No, you all are more than welcome to continue this conversation next Tuesday. Hey, like I said, the platform is open. And so if you want to continue this conversation next Tuesday, that's fine with me. Just let me know so I can set it up properly, correctly, and right. But, I mean, I think we had some very good conversation. I appreciate each and every one of you for joining me tonight and for calling in and for the questions. For the sparring partners of Joe versus Joe, Montana Joe versus North Carolina Joe, they went back and forth, and North Carolina Joe had an answer for Montana Joe, and I was like, okay, this gentleman's ready. He's been ready, so he was already geared up and primed and everything. So I just appreciate him even coming to my show last week and saying, yes, I would do this. So thank you to both of you. Of course, to Sergeant Parks and the Reverend Ron and to Miss Sarah and to Dustin and to everybody else, Pianchi, for joining us late in the show and late in the game. But still, you guys, I just, you know, because you guys didn't have to join. So I just appreciate. But, yeah, we have, you know, we have another 26 minutes that I added. But You guys are more than welcome to join next week, or if somebody has a topic they want to talk about, hit me up either via phone or let's do it radio@gmail.com. You can reach me that way as well. So thank you. You guys just don't understand. It makes me feel good to know that people are out there actually listening to what's going on and to voice their opinion. And, you know, even though we talk over each other, I'm going to get – you heard me.
I'll be there in a minute.
Even though, you know, I appreciate everybody, commenting and so on and so forth. I mean, it's okay to agree to disagree. And so that's where we get our conversation started. And I just appreciate you guys listening to each other, even though, you know, some of us, you know, talk more than other of us. I just let you all go, and I'm just going to be the referee, and I'm just going to – this is what I'm going to do.
You have to hear that too much tonight.
No, I didn't.
We went back and forth in a very civilized way. We did not. We agreed to disagree.
It was very nice.
And like I said, it was going to be rough, but it wasn't going to be nasty.
It wasn't rough.
You kept your promise.
It wasn't rough. It was not rough at all in the least bit, and I just appreciate you too. So I really do.
The other thing, fellas, y'all both needed applause because if from the lower end or the middle class or the lower middle class person, if we were able to watch a debate and it was like what you guys this evening, you guys,
it was perfect.
The race would be so unbelievably tight, it's not funny. Because both of you came with awesome questions and awesome answers. And that's what we need to see that. We need to see it.
Yeah.
Because we don't see it. We get all the ads where, you know, oh, Gibson, when he was 4 years old, he tripped and fell and bumped his knee and he said a cuss word. He was four. And, you know, like, are you kidding me? Nobody cares about that, but you come to find out that everybody in America cares about the fact that he tripped and fell and said a cuss word because he busted me. So what?
Yeah.
Right.
Who's that man? Who's that man right now?
Dustin,
Listen to what we listen to tonight.
Dustin, I have a question for you.
I already know I got your back.
Well, thank you very much. Dustin, you are on a building. You're a contractor. Do you know Beyonce? She was a contractor. You two should get together. He's a contractor. Bianchi was a builder. So he had his own construction company. You're in construction. Why don't you two hook up?
I was hoping Sarge would have called in tonight. I was hoping Sarge was going to listen in. You remember Sarge from my joke.
Oh, Sarge, are you kidding me? He's the most intelligent guy on Blog Talk Radio. He knows how to do his research, and he knows how to make this simplicity profound.
Who is this person?
Sarge. That's his name.
If you get me in touch with him and you want him on the show,
Bianchi knows who he is very well. He probably can get easier in touch with him than I can, actually.
Okay.
But he's a very, very intelligent, very historian, history, expert in history, historian. I'm telling you, he is a very intelligent man.
Okay.
And in terms of research and doing research on the research and knowing how to explain, how to analyze and explain the conclusions that he comes up with, nobody does it better than him.
And he does it in simple terms where everybody can understand him?
Very simple.
That's
his profoundness.
Okay.
He does it in such a simple way, you should be able to understand what he says. Yes.
Okay.
Too bad he wasn't on the show tonight. Joe's right.
Okay, good guy for the week. Okay, I'm gonna give us a hand clap for the evening. So thank you.
All right, I'm gonna sign off then. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And we'll do another one.
I'm gonna send you a text actually here in a little bit. Okay.
Okay, sounds wonderful. I appreciate you guys a lot. a lot. So thank you. So
well,
the announcements for the week.
Good to have you as.
Go ahead.
Good to have you as a hostess too.
Oh well, yeah.
Amen.
Thank you.
I try to keep things, you know, civilized. You know, I just let y'all go, and it's like, you know, if it gets to be too crazy, it's like, wait a minute, time out, you know, because, you know, everybody's testosterone goes. It seems like I'm usually the only female on the show amongst you guys, and then Miss Sarah joins us, and then Nicole, I think she was also joined us the other day. And so she said she was going to be joining us, but she did not join us today. But I just appreciate each and every one of you for joining me. Go ahead.
You should get some young people on too, Inez, because I see that being a major problem. Older people, and you know, all older people don't know, but the older people that do know, when they go, it goes with them. And then younger people get left to try to figure out what the hell were they doing.
We're talking about. And we do have a group of a couple of young ladies who are very intelligent who I can get to call in sometimes. So depending on if they're, you know, busy with their school or what have you, they will call in. But I was just trying to kind of get a feel for what the night was going to be like. And I really enjoyed the evening. I mean, I liked how you guys went back and forth. Montana Joe asked a question, and North Carolina Joe answered it, and it was easy, it was concise, and it was, you know, he didn't hold his tongue and everything. He just told it how he felt. So, you know, I would even vote for him. I mean, he just seems like a real genuine person to me. That's how I feel.
Well, I appreciate that.
Genuine.
Thanks.
Real genuine.
Bianchi, I think, has listened to me before, so he knows I'm a straight up guy. Just tell it like it is. Best way to be in life, as far as I'm concerned.
Right. And
well,
where are you calling from, Bianchi?
Fool around. I'm calling from either the Midwest, Missouri, down in the Delta region. I'm down in the Delta region now. I have low tolerance for people that that just are tricksters, you know. I really don't have tolerance for that. I've gotten too old for that kind of foolishness.
Okay.
And
when
you start,
we all are.
Getting close to round 10 of a 10-rounder, you got to make everything that you try to go after, you have to make it count. But I'm very serious.
Exactly.
These young people, and I see such a deficiency at that age group. They don't have the slightest clue of what's going on when it comes down to tangible things. Emotional, they can put on the emotional fit. But if it's tangible, they just don't know because they haven't been taught.
But there's a certain percentage. You can't say but there's a certain percentage who do. So, I mean, we do have some real intelligent people out there that, you know, it's hard to get them hooked in because it's like, you know, what can I do? But those are the ones who we want to get hooked in because they're the ones who can help us get the word out to those people who are, I won't say not so intelligent, but who are lost, I guess you could say. So we need those young people to loop them in. Like I believe Sarah, I think she's probably young. Nicole, I think she's somebody was 30 years old. Was that you, Sarah, who said you were 30? Or was that Nicole who said she was 30? That was Nicole.
Yeah. Did you?
That was Nicole.
Could you excuse me for a second to interrupt? I just want to say I'm going to go now and thank you, Inez, and thank you, Joe, for being in the hot seat. So I'll see you guys there. Everybody be safe, all right? Good night, all.
Yeah,
all
right,
thank you. Same with me. I've got to step out, too. Yes, be safe, everybody, and take care. God bless, and keep up the good fight.
Go ahead, because it's getting late.
Take
so
care.
I appreciate everybody.
All right.
So the announcements, and I'm just going to give them another hand clap because it was wonderful. It was wonderful. So the announcements for the week, we have Bible study tomorrow night at 3 Pacific and 6 p.m. Eastern with the Reverends Carolyn and Rodney McCullough on the 22nd. The 23rd, we have the Give the Kingdom out of Pine Bluff, and that's 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. Sunday, we have Reverend Ron Marshall who was on the line with us for the fourth Sunday service. He's at Little Rock, Arkansas, and that's at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. And please support Reverend Ronnie Marshall with his Don't Turn Away From God album through iTunes, Amazon, CD Baby, and all of the music media. And he also has a YouTube video for the Don't Turn Away From God song. And on Tuesday, of course, we have me again, June 28th. Ms. Inez says, let's talk about that 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. And as Reverend Ron was saying earlier, please donate to keep Let's Do It Radio on the air to $ANAISEVALCOUR. And if you have a topic you'd like to discuss, let's talk about it. You can email me at letsdoitradio@gmail.com. And don't forget to share on your social media platform so we can have a real variety of people calling from all over. We have Washington State. We have California. We have Montana. We have Missouri. We have Maryland. We have Florida. We have the Texas area. We have the D.C. area. So we have people calling in. So, you know, don't stop there. Let's keep everybody in the loop. We just won't hang them. So we want to keep that going. And if you want to listen to the episode again, you can always go to www.theblogtalkradio.com/letsdoitradio, and you can choose any episode. On Sunday, I did a tribute to Fathers for Father's Day, and I set a celebration you can listen to. It's long, but that's how I feel about men and fathers. So, again, thank you, each and every one of you, for joining in. And
before you go, I got one more thing. With the young people, you can create lesson plans, and that lesson can be on the U.S. Constitution. Now, your local congressperson will give you all the Constitution copies that you want for free. That's what their job is.
Okay.
They give you Constitution, okay. They give you flag. And have the young people to get Constitution and go through it, then pose questions about what they don't understand. And we can show how that interacts and works out in everyday life, especially when it comes down to politics at local, state, and federal level. Because I can just about guarantee you they are confused in its structure and its purpose. So thank you very much for the opportunity. I'll catch you next time.
So maybe next week we can talk about, do you understand the Constitution?
Or what they don't understand.
Okay. What do you and don't you understand about the Constitution? If I could write that all on there, we could talk about that. And so are you going to be with
me next
week?
And you get copies, like I say. Call up your local, your congressperson, and they'll give you as many constitutions as you want for the event that you are sponsoring.
Okay. Cool.
All right. Once again, thank you very much.
Thank you. And again, thank you everybody for joining in. If you've got something on your chest, let's talk about it. Thank you. We could be discussing your topic just like that. Just that easy. Just give me something to throw out and we could be discussing it. I have been your hostess for the evening, Ms. Inez, CEO and fashion designer of Anaisako Designs at www.anaisevalcour.com, and I'm the same on Facebook and Instagram. And I want to thank all of my guests and speakers and everybody who joined in this evening, Montana Joe versus North Carolina Joe, for sparring with each other. And of course, all of my callers from all over the United States and wherever you may have been calling from, I appreciate each and every one of you. One thing I want you to be is a positive force in the world. And if you're going to be something, be kind. So I want to say good night to each and every one of you. Again, thank you for joining us. And until we meet again tomorrow night, if that's the case, or next Tuesday, if that's the case. So tomorrow night's Bible study, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. Thank you at 845-241-9985. Y'all have a good rest of the evening. And until we meet again. Thank you. Good night.